So I'll start with kind of the most basic question. Why should consumers care about this merger?
Well, I think there are a couple of reasons why consumers should care. First of all, this is a major change in terms of how CVS is going to interact with insurers. Prior to this, CVS has essentially been a pharmaceutical benefits manager. They've served lots of different insurance companies and lots of different patients. There's an opportunity here for CVS to direct Aetna patients to its stores. Essentially, if CVS decided to, they could adopt an exclusive model for Aetna customers, where Aetna customers would have to buy their pharmaceutical products from CVS. That's a lot of potential new customers. The other thing that this brings to bear is that CVS has extraordinary market clout. And one of the things that CVS is hoping to do for Aetna is to negotiate better deals on drug prices. Compared to other insurers that don't have this opportunity, CVS may have, and Aetna may have combined, a competitive advantage.
This is essentially a health insurance company having the ability to open up a brick-and-mortar store.
That's exactly right. And I think that's the transformative piece of this. We've seen lots of other examples of integration in healthcare, where the health plan includes both doctors and hospitals. It's essentially a vertical integration there. But no one's done it with pharmaceuticals yet. And the interesting thing here is that pharmaceuticals are the most rapidly growing area of healthcare in terms of cost. So to the extent to which CVS could squeeze out efficiencies here, we would have a real opportunity to kind of shake up the healthcare industry.
In terms of a shakeup, would you consider this merger a potential disruption to the healthcare landscape in America?
Absolutely. And the reason is because CVS has 9,600 pharmacies around the country. And potentially what we're doing is we're bringing health insurance into each and every one of those pharmacies. CVS could theoretically open up a health insurance office for Aetna in every one of those pharmacies where it's serving millions of consumers every day. That would dramatically increase the visibility of Aetna's product and also provides kind of a one-stop shopping experience for consumers.
So you mentioned CVS's work as a benefits manager. I think that that's kind of a hidden side of CVS to the average everyday consumer. So could you explain what that is?
Sure. Well, basically what every insurance company does is they contract with someone to provide pharmaceutical benefits management. They essentially have a list of drugs that they have as part of an approved formulary. And then the drug management company, the pharmaceutical benefit manager, works with those individual pharmaceutical companies, the suppliers, to negotiate prices. And essentially arrange the process of moving the drugs from the pharmaceutical companies and into the stores. That's actually one of the biggest parts of CVS's business. Most of us associate CVS with brick and mortar, but the pharmaceutical benefits management piece of things is much more significant for them in terms of their bottom line.
We're speaking with Bob Hackey, professor of health policy and management at Providence College. Mm-hmm. Locally, most of Rhode Island's CVS employees work in the retail pharmacy. What will the local workforce, do you think, look like in 5, 10, 15 years from now following this merger?
I think what this merger potentially signals is a growing influence and impact of non-physician providers, physician assistants, pharmacists, nurse practitioners in the delivery of care. They're providing much more cost-effective care in many cases because obviously they're paid less than physicians. And so consumers have actually embraced this model with the MinuteClinic. We're seeing a lot of folks using those services. This could accelerate that.
What are the potential benefits and risks of having one of the country's biggest for-profit pharmacy chains more involved in healthcare?
Healthcare is a business, whether it's delivered by nonprofit organizations or for-profit organizations. Nonprofits often behave a lot like for-profits in healthcare. And they have a mission, but all companies have to be attending to the question of, can they make ends meet? This potentially has the ability to provide leverage on controlling pharmaceutical costs. And we're not seeing anything that would really rein in pharmaceutical costs in the absence of some type of disruptive innovation. CVS may be able to negotiate more advantageous terms for consumers and providers than otherwise we could see. I think the bigger risks in some cases are going to be for CVS's competitors, because if this is starting to unfold with CVS in the lead, many of those other insurers, Humana, for example, Cigna, locally, Blue Cross Blue Shield plans, are going to find themselves wondering, okay, how do we anticipate and respond to this?
There is obviously, with this merger, the potential for real cost savings passed on to the consumer. But again, CVS is a for-profit company. What is their impetus for lowering those costs, and how likely do you feel they would be to do that?
They are obviously a for-profit company, and they obviously want to make money. What I think they're probably most attuned to here is the opportunity to gain market share. If they can grab business from other insurers by offering a lower cost product, they're going to sell their product to many, many more people. Basically, you lower prices, and in doing so, you gain customers. And there are lots of insurers right now who are kind of on thin ice. The profit margins in this industry are not huge. This could cause some significant disruption and probably more mergers. That's the other downside here. For consumers, you may see reduced choice as more of these companies partner up.
Bob Hackey, Professor of Health Policy and Management at Providence College, thanks so much for taking the time to talk to us today.
I really appreciate it. Thanks so much.